Hey, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in to the Relate and Communicate podcast with your girl, Denedria Banks. As always, if you want to reach me, hit me up at relate2019@gmail.com. Again, that is relate2019@gmail.com. Hey, family. So last week I was trolling the internet and I saw some discussion about a Dr. Phil show that aired in March. So I have to admit, Dr. Phil is not a show that I ever watch. Apparently, in March, Dr. Phil did a show entitled I Swiped Right on My Quadriplegic Boyfriend. On that show, he interviewed interabled couples. So an interabled couple was defined as one person being in a wheelchair and another person being able-bodied. On that show, Dr. Phil surmised that a person could not be one's lover and caregiver. He shared that he had done the quote-unquote research, and 100 out of 100 times, that type of relationship always failed. Eventually, he actually asked one of the young ladies who was the able-bodied member of the couple to choose whether or not she wanted to be her boyfriend's lover or to be his caregiver. The young lady, she chose to be her boyfriend's girlfriend, his lover. So immediately that show led to much discussion and a movement on social media called hashtag 100 out of 100. So interabled couples, they started to share their true stories of how their relationships have worked over the years and commented on the fact that they would definitely beat those odds and they weren't going to be 100 out of 100. Reading those stories and just reading some of the comments that were made me start to think about relationships and love, intimacy, you know, and all the type of things that come with that. Today, I just want to share a little bit about how I think about relationships and my history in relationships and how I've grown as a person. So Dr. Phil's narrow-minded viewpoint is something that has always haunted me. You know, I always question, could someone love me despite my disability? You know, if they tried to love me, when would they grow tired, decide to walk away? When indeed would that bottom fall out? Remember, I was diagnosed at 9. So as a girl growing up with the disability, I watched as my friends developed and boys began to pay attention to them. I watched as my friends started to wear cute shorts and bathing suits in the summer, showing off their legs. But I wore shorts sometimes in hiding because I feared the stares that usually came my way. And as my friends began to wear heels, I found myself fantasizing about how that might make one feel because I had to wear men's dress shoes. From a young age, I knew some people saw me as different and possibly not worthy, but I still hoped for love. I did have my first boyfriend at 16. He was fun, and we were fun together. He was my first date. I shared my first kiss with him, went to my first school football homecoming dance, and we just shared great times, and I have many wonderful memories. But you know, that was 16, and that wasn't meant to last. During college, I had a good time. I had a core group of friends, joined several social clubs, and dated. But even though I dated, I was usually put into the friend zone. I was liked, but never quite made the whole mark. One of my best male friends at the time told me, you know, Dee, you're the girl you take home to mom. You're not the girl you date. And I knew that was flattering, but the question in the back of my mind was, would someone ever take me home to meet mom? I was about 20 when I shared these fears with my mom. My mom listened and she had a lot of wisdom and she gave some pretty good advice. She said, you are gonna be with someone. It's gonna be okay, but they will be older. They are going to be very secure in themselves and your condition will not be the issue. I pondered what my mom said, and although I heard what she said at the time, I surely didn't believe her. See, at 20, I was like, I can't date anyone 4 years older than me. Anyone older than that would be way out of my league. Man, thank God I was wrong. See, my three most lasting relationships, were two men that were 12 to 13 years my senior. My younger self, man, would have thought I was crazy for even considering those age gaps. But I'm glad my older self prevailed. For the most part, my mom was right. The self-security these men had and have allowed for us to develop a relationship built on something other than my disability. We were able to build from respect, love, desire, and an actual want to share time together. You know, I always say that each relationship helped me grow. I am much more able to say what I need and how I feel without being afraid of the outcome. I think in my growth, I've learned that I love myself more than X, whomever, whatever X is, and I actually owe it to myself to nurture my self-love. For as they say, how can someone love you if you don't know how to love yourself? Today, I have someone who loves me despite myself. Because I can be a hard cookie to love. Disability aside, you know, I can get smart, have an attitude, get angry, have a bad day, be picky, not want to cook dinner, and simply not want to be bothered. And adding my disability to the equation, I may need assistance, I could be in pain, I may need his hand, need to go to the doctor, and simply just need. But he still loves me. And our love is not one-sided, y'all. I am as much there for him as he is for me. My niece recently asked, D, what do you need most in a relationship? At first, I thought I was going to be quick on a draw and have something right off the bat for her. But I found myself needing a moment, and then I shared the following. One, I need someone who sees me. Not the me they want to see, but me in front of them, flaws and all. You know, I was in a relationship once where I felt I could only see or be with the guy when I was 100% healthy, footloose, and fancy free. You know, everything had to be good and happy. And although the time we shared would be fun, I usually felt empty and alone after our time was over because everything was actually just superficial. And I learned that that wasn't a relationship. It was make-believe. I need someone who truly sees me, and I need someone who will truly allow me to see them as well. Two, communication. I and he are not mind readers. I have to be able to say the words to him. I have to be able to express my feelings and believe that he will hear me and he will hold them. And he should expect the exact same thing from me. Three, I need someone who shows up, not just for vacations or special occasions, but someone who shows up for the meat of it all. Someone who has the ability to recognize that, you know what, my baby's had a bad day. Let me just check in with her, see what's going on. And if I need to, they allow me to talk about it or cry about it, but they show up. And again, that is the person I also plan to be for them too. I've never been engaged or married, but I believe in the union thereof. I believe in healthy, loving relationships. And I understand all relationships take work to uphold. I also believe no one relationship is perfect. And relationships are not always divided equally, you know, into that 50-50 category we always hear about. Sometimes it's going to be 70-30, sometimes it's 60-40, sometimes it's 80-20. But I believe every couple and every relationship has the ability to make their own truth. I also believe love is an action word. And sometimes the most loving thing you can do for yourself or another can do for you is walk away so you can receive the one who is supposed to be your true blessing. I believe too that your soulmate is not always who you expect or come in the package you expect him or her to come. And lastly, I believe loving someone is truly one of the greatest gifts we can receive. So again, this podcast was inspired because of Dr. Field's narrow-minded viewpoint about relationships between inter-abled couples. You know, I've looked but have not seen any posts from Dr. Field apologizing for his statement. And I think this is really sad because Dr. Field has an incredible platform to educate people, but this is what he chooses to put forth. Or that type of statement and narrow-mindedness is what he chooses to put forth. I just hope Dr. Phil is never in the position in which someone asks his wife, which role do you choose? Do you want to be Phil's wife or caregiver? Hopefully, she doesn't answer caregiver. Thanks again for listening to the Relate and Communicate podcast with your girl, Denedria Banks. As always, if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, please hit me up at relate2019@gmail.com. Before I go, I want to wish a happy birthday to my dear niece, Nicole Lewis, as she is celebrating her 20th birthday. Happy birthday, niece. I hope you had a great day.